The only time you catch me is at church is a funeral. Sometimes sunshine turn to rain, my nigga. The same ones you love have been pain, my nigga. I don't know if I see tomorrow. Hey, y'all don't know nothing about that. That's that old J. Cole right there, boy. That's that shit. That's his first mixtape. That one, that was the come up mixtape, right? Damn, cause I was cleaning up last night, man, and that song came on. It was back to back J. Cole songs because I'm on SoundCloud. So like some, you know how on SoundCloud they had like a lot of the unreleased songs and shit like that. So, man, I was listening to it last night and I'm like, man, that's that old J. Cole. That's when J. Cole still sound like a little bitch. But yeah, man, nevertheless, man, I hope everybody's having a good day, good week so far, or has had a good week so far. My week's been cool, man. Nothing too out of the ordinary. Excuse me, nothing too out of the ordinary, man. I'm glad I got this phone back because I was out of commission on this phone for like some days. Because this phone and my actual phone, I record podcasts and post on my Instagram story on two different phones. So that phone, like that last story or my last Instagram story when I did that story time about my brother and that situation, rest in peace. That's when it started messing up, and I'm like, look at this shit. So I left it alone for some days because you know how like when you drop a phone, I haven't dropped this phone, but you know how like when you drop a phone, you know what I'm saying, like that little white flashing screen come on. That's what happened. It just came out the blue. I'm like, bro, what the hell? So I left it alone for a while. I said, fuck it. But it's back now. So hopefully it stays this way. Because I'm not trying to get another phone. I'm cheap. You know what I'm saying? But nevertheless, man, I'm just going to get right into the topic. It's going to be a more serious topic. I was actually going to make this topic last night. But I didn't want to be, like, dragging through or, you know, not my best when I record. I believe in, like, I like to be refreshed. I like to be energetic. Things like that when I record an episode. I don't want to be sluggish. I don't want to be carrying through the episode or just going through the motions, so to say, when I record, because I don't think that's good content. Yeah, my bad, man. I had got a message, but yeah, man, like I said, but yeah, man, just gonna get right into it. Like, I don't really like being, you know, making content just for the hell of it. You know, I like to, like when I talk, you know, I like to, you know, for my words to have conviction or, you know, to mean what I say. You know, I don't want to be one of these people. And we see it all the time, man, you know, in the world of quote unquote content creating or social media, you know, like it's easy to hear when somebody's making content just for the hell of it. You know, when it's an oversaturation of content, you know, it's a bad thing. It's kind of like a relationship. You know, you don't want to be laid up under somebody 24/7. You know, like they say, man, distance makes the heart grow fonder. You know, so I believe in, you know, having a little anticipation to build up. So when we see each other again, wow, shit everywhere. But, oh, man, I ain't shit. But no, man, just go get right into the topic, man. It's actually a more serious discussion like I was elaborating a minute ago. It's going to be about black men, mental health, and where that angry black man stigma comes from. So yeah, man, just going to get right into it. And the reason for this episode is because I was having a conversation with my uncle last night. He and I, we talk a lot. We talk like damn near every night. Anytime if I have some time and he has some time, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be honest, like we're going to have a good conversation. It's always a good conversation. We be laughing and, you know, shooting the shit with each other. But when we had those conversations, like, that's why, you know, I love having those conversations. Like I said, man, I'm all up for talking shit and talking sports, talking business, you know, and things like that. But those serious conversations, especially about mental health and black men mental health and, you know, the state of your well-being and shit like that. Like, those are conversations I enjoy having the most, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, so we were having a discussion last night, and I'll just use myself for an example. So last week I did, for those that follow me on Instagram, I did 18 sessions at the gym. because I work out. You know, I mean, I know I've said it before, but I'm going to keep saying this. So I work out Sunday through Friday. That's my little workout schedule. Or those are the days I go to the gym. I rest every Saturday. Regardless, I'm not doing shit on a Saturday. I probably should take another rest day, to be honest with you. But no, I'm hard-headed. You know, so, or I'm disciplined, whichever term you want to use. You can say I'm crazy, you can say I'm disciplined, you can say I'm whatever. But all of those words may be applicable. But yeah, man, like I was saying, so I told him, I said, man, I did 18 gym sessions. I did like 3 hours of cardio each day, 6 days a week last week, things like that. And he was like, damn, brother, that's amazing. But then I told him, you know, then I went into more detail about, you know, why I did the things I did or why I did it that much. Like I said, not only because of my training or what I'm training for, but it was just like, well, I'm the type of person, especially now, like if I get frustrated about some shit or if I'm mad or whatever, I got to do something physical, whether that be working out, whether that be I started back weight training, so lifting a little weights or doing something physical. I just need to do something physical that's not stupid, or I'm not jeopardizing my health or my freedom or nothing like that. You know, so just like last night, I'm not going to lie, like I wasn't going to go to the gym yesterday. Really didn't feel like it, really didn't, you know, and like I say, man, I know I joked about it a minute ago, but it's, I don't feel like going to the gym every day. I know I go 6 days a week, twice a day, 6 days a week, but I don't feel like doing that every day. You know what I'm saying? It's just, that's just human nature, you know, or not even necessarily human nature, but like I say, man, I focus on building discipline instead of going when I want to go. Cause truth be told, if I went to the gym, like when I felt like it, I'll only go probably two times a week, two, three times a week, if that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's rare that I feel like going to the gym, actually. You know, people may find it hard to believe, given of you know, how much I go, especially last week. But I don't feel like going to the gym all those times. I'm not dreading going to the gym because it's like that natural, like that good release of endorphins. You know what I'm saying? That's that feeling, like that feeling after a good workout, especially cardio. Like, I like nothing can, you know, top that feeling for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just love that rush. I love that boost of energy I have, you know, because before I went to the gym yesterday, I took a nap. I woke up. It was like a little after 6 o'clock in the evening. And I went to the gym and I was just like, man, you know what? I was just like, I don't feel like going, but I'm going to go just to say I went. And that's what I did, man. Didn't think about it. I just got up, got my gym bag, went to the gym, did my hour on the elliptical bike, and that was that. But yeah, man, so I said all that to say, you know, like I don't, you know, the reason I went so many times last week, it was for my mental health. It was to, you know, relieve some stress. It was to get some shit off my mind, because I'm one of those people, man. I'm a forward thinker. You know, I like to plan ahead and manage my time and things of that nature. But at the same time, life happens to us all, you know, and having problems in life isn't bad. I mean, we all have things that we're dealing with, whatever those things or problems or trials and tribulations, whatever you want to call them, we all have them. But yeah, like nothing is wrong with having them. It's just about how you deal with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you didn't have the best upbringing. Maybe you didn't, you know, you were dealt a quote unquote unfair hand of cards in life, or unfair deck of cards in life, or maybe you were, you know, maybe you, you know, which is the case for a lot of black men, unfortunately. You know, maybe you were behind before you even started. And what do I mean by that? Like I said, growing up in a matriarchy, I mean, I made that no secret. I stand firm on that. You know, black men growing up in a predominantly female environment isn't good for his development. You know, both not only from a physical standpoint, but from a mental, spiritual, and emotional standpoint, especially the mental, spiritual, and emotional standpoint. Because if a young black man is growing up around women, you know, quite naturally, he's going to want that void. You know what I mean? And that's something that doesn't get talked about enough. You know, I know you see these, to give an example, you know, I know you see a lot of these quote unquote athletes or public figures. I don't care for the term celebrity. These athletes or public figures or whatever the case may be. You know, it's like, oh, my mama this, my mama that. And blah blah blah, and can't do my, like my mama can do no wrong, and that fake ass Kevin Durant shit. You the real MVP, crying and all that bullshit. But I like how, you know, that meme or that was shared when Kevin Durant was crying, telling his mother that she was the real MVP. But people made fun of Giannis Antetokounmpo when he won his MVP. He talked about his father, God rest his soul, and Giannis got choked up. Or he started crying and people made fun of Giannis for that. And I'm like, bro, you're like, y'all don't realize the impact that a father has on his son's life or his children's life, especially his sons. Like, y'all don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with salute to my guy, Russell Westbrook. You know, when he won his MVP and, you know, he was on stage and he thanked his dad and, you know, he thanked both his parents and, you know, he thanked his dad and things of that nature. You know what I mean? Like, they made fun of Westbrook for that. It was like, he's not going to honor his mother. He thanked his mama, too. See, you don't have to worship. He doesn't have to worship his mama. You know what I'm saying? And that's only really a black thing. You know what I'm saying? They look at it like black sons must worship their mothers and need to worship their mothers. And I know the Most High, that's one of the Ten Commandments, you know, honor thy father and thy mother so that thy days may be long on earth. But he just didn't say honor thy mother. He said honor thy father and mother. He just didn't say honor thy mother and thy mother. You know what I mean? So, excuse me. So, yeah, man, with that being said, ankle popping. But, yeah, man, so with that being said, and same thing with Donovan Mitchell. I forgot when it was. I think it was either when he got drafted, when he first got drafted to the league or something like that. And, you know, how they, you know, go on their speech, they thank the, you know, they thank God and, you know, things of that nature. And he thanked his father and, you know, people were trying to say, or he thanked his mother. And then he was like, oh, well, I forgot the situation exactly, but I'm just going to paraphrase. Like, I remember, but detail for detail, I don't remember. So it was like, so then they were trying to make it seem like Donovan Mitchell was raised by a single mother, right? And Donovan had to correct him. It's like, no, my father was there too. You know what I'm saying? Because I believe Donovan has a sister, if I remember correctly. I'm not too sure if it's his older or younger sister, but, you know, I believe Donovan has a sister too. So, and he was like, no, like, my father was there for us as well. You see what I'm saying? And hey, even I'm no public figure. I'm no Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm no Russell Westbrook. I'm no Donovan Mitchell. I'm none of these guys. I'm Joshua Hewitt. You know what I mean? And I've even had experiences like that. You know, when people would see me in public and they'd be like, oh, like your mom must have done a good job or your mom did a great job raising you. Like, yep, my father did too. You know what I'm saying? So it's and that's what I mean, man. Like, it's a little subtle shit like that, you know, like I catch up on. I'm like, now, why is it when it's the black people, especially black men, especially young black men, they always say, oh, your mother, your grandmother did a good job raising you. It's never, oh, your father did a good job raising you, or your parents, plural, did a good job raising you, or whatever you have, you must have had a strong, positive male role model or men role models in your life growing up. It's never that. It's always, oh, your mama, your grandma did a good job raising you. You know what I'm saying? Because unfortunately enough, that's the reality for a lot of young black men. You know, they're either raised by their mothers or grandmothers, you know, or an aunt, or predominantly a matriarchy or a female-led environment. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, with that being said, man, so that's not talked about enough in the black community. But I know I kind of got it. Well, I didn't really get sidetracked. It's all on topic. But yeah, man, like I was saying, though, yeah, so we had the conversation. And I said all that to say, you know, like, I have things that I'm working on, and I don't mind being vocal about this. So I am going back to therapy. I actually went to therapy for the first time in 2018. And for those who follow me for a while on Instagram and have had conversations with me on Instagram, you know what I'm talking about. And for those who don't know, I feel you, and I don't mind. So 2018, that was when I left home, because I'm originally from Louisiana. I currently live in Texas now. And that time period, it took a lot out of me. I'll be honest, like, not from a physical aspect, but mentally, like, mentally, man, I'll be honest with you. Like, that time period from, I say, 2018 to 2021, that was really a very eye-opening time for me, you know what I mean? Because, like, it took a lot out of me, you know, and that's when I don't mind talking. I don't mind disclosing this information. That's when I was 90% of people were talking shit about me because, you know, and like I said, man, I'll be completely honest and transparent. I mean, I didn't handle that situation the best. And what am I referring to? I'm referring to when I became a father. And I'll be honest with y'all, like, I didn't really tell my family any of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I told, I'll be honest with you. Like, I told my best friend slash brother, not the one that passed away, but my other best friend slash brother. I told a female I was close with at the time. She was a good friend of mine, still is. Shit, that was it. Like, no bullshit. And I was with my uncle. I told him, my uncle, I'm old school. I was with him, old school slash my uncle Brad. I was over his house because he took me to the bus station because I went from Shreveport to Shreveport, Louisiana to San Antonio, Texas. So yeah, man, like that time period was a lot, you know, and dealing with that, I didn't tell anybody. And I'll be honest, man, my dad was trying to reach out to me, but I kind of shunned him out. And I'll be honest with you, and the reason I did that was because I'm not saying what I did was right, but all of that shit was hard for me to process at one time. And my first and my only reaction or my only thought was, okay, I got to get to my daughter's mother because she was pregnant with our daughter at the time. And my only thought, well, I got to get closer to her. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying what I did was right. I'm not saying this to be applauded. I don't want to be applauded. I don't want to be told good job or nothing like that because, you know, as a man, you know, I had to make that tough decision or I put myself in a position to make that tough decision, you know. So I look at it like, well, would you rather be closer to your child or would you rather be 6.5-7 hours away, only seeing her on weekends or once a month or once or every 5-6 months or whatever the case may be, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't want that, you know, so I left, you know, and it was a lie. I was hearing shit like I'm messing my life up and, you know, I'm making my life harder than what it has to be and shit like that. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, the way I probably did it wasn't right. I could have been more vocal and told y'all, but see, shit like that is exactly why I didn't tell y'all. Regardless of what y'all would have said or what was being said about me, I still would have left. You know what I'm saying? Just for the simple fact of, you know, that was my firstborn child. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, fuck anybody and for fuck everybody and how they feel, I'm getting closer to my child. You know what I'm saying? So, so yeah, man, with that being said, like, yeah, like that took a lot out of me, man. And from March, because I left March 2018. So from March up until November, because I came back home for Thanksgiving after my daughter was born. She was born in August of 2008, because she was born in August of 2018. And I came back home November of 2018, and I brought her with me, and everybody saw her, and they saw how I was with her, you know, changing the diaper, and how quiet she was around me, and anytime I hold her, she's either asleep or eating, or she's just, you know, just being so comfortable around me, you know. And I told them, you know, because people will say, like, she just looks so comfortable and happy around you, because I built that relationship before she even got here. Like, I was at every doctor's appointment. I was, you know, even when her mom was pregnant with her, I would talk to her stomach and she would kick and move and stuff like that. And her mom would be like, oh, well, somebody's happy to see you or hear from you and stuff like that. And I was singing to her stomach, you know, the songs I was singing, which is my favorite song by Michael Jackson, The Lady in My Life. I would either play that instrumental because I love the instrumental, man. It's nothing. That's one of my favorite instrumentals ever. So I would either play that instrumental or I would actually sing the song. Well, I'm not a good singer. I'm no Michael Jackson, but I can hold a note. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm Michael Jackson. Y'all chill out. Somebody gonna be like, man, I know damn well. You ain't saying you might have lazy niggas. But I was singing that song. And y'all remember that song, Arms Wide Open by Creed? That, with arms wide open. I'll show you love. I'll show you everything with arms wide open. I love that song, bro. I don't know why I love that song, bro. That song, man. So I would hum that song to her because I like that little beat. Well, I like that instrumental as well. So yeah, man. So stuff like that. And I'll be honest, man. It's like stuff like that I'm still dealing with to this day. And what do I mean by that? Like, I made it no secret. Like, a lot of people, like I said, you know, I guess you could say how I was viewed 5.5 years ago is differently than how I'm viewed now. Of course, I'm 5.5 years, almost 6 years older. I'm much more mature. I carry myself in a better way. I'm more mentally stronger and things of that nature. But at the same time, you know, I look at it like I'm like, it's really no different. I'm still the same person. You know, of course, I'm always going to be Joshua, but I'm the same person. I just carry myself in a more mature way. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I mean. Like, and I just say this too, man, because it's all on the same topic. I was going to post this in my Instagram story, but I'm glad I am saving this for my podcast. So for the people who quote unquote compliment me or tell me things like I inspire them or I motivate them or people consider me a role model, although I don't consider myself a role model, I'm not denying my value or lessening my value by saying that. I just don't view myself as the example. You know what I mean? And that's the thing with being the example. Sometimes you never really realize you're the example until people are following any and every little thing you do, or they say, which I've heard of people say things like, oh man, like I see you in the gym so much and that inspired me to get back in the gym, or older people have a conversation with me and I hear this all the time, especially from older people. They say, man, you have such an old soul. Like, for you to just be 25 going on 26, it feels like I'm talking to a person that's 40, 50 years old. You know what I mean? And my African brother, yes, boss. He told me that the last time he and I had a discussion. You know, he wished me well and, you know, he just spoke a lot of positive over me. And I even told him, because I know he's from Africa. I'm going to say his name. I'm not going to just keep saying my African brother, although he is my fellow African brother. I'm going to just say his name. Brother Dennis, you know, I call him the pastor, you know, because, you know, he go to church on Sunday. You know, he the pastor. He my pastor, you know, so. But and I remember I told him about it there one day. He was like, I just don't know why this brother does these things. And he would laugh. You know what I'm saying? He was like, I just don't know why this brother just does these things. He calls me his pastor. Like, no, I'm not his pastor. And things like that. So yeah, man, with that being said, yeah. So I even told him, I was like, I know in Africa it's a different culture. I'm not saying it's bad. I just know it's a different culture, different way of life, different upbringing, things like that. But I'm like, black men, and he even said this, and I was just like, I'm just not used to how I'm being viewed now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I don't appreciate it. I'm not saying people are not genuine. Yeah, some fake shit that comes with it. I mean, that's the territory. Not everybody that tells you congratulations has your best interest. I know that. I'm no fool. I know everybody that smiles in my face doesn't mean well. Nor am I saying that everybody who smiles in my face doesn't mean well. Because I say, man, like, you can tell who's really being genuine and who's really like, man, like, I was in a dark space, but something you said, and I've heard this as well, too. You know, like, something you said has, or something you said resonated with me, or something you said, like, it really, you know, it kind of really hit home, you know what I mean? And that's when I was telling my uncle last night. I was like, I talk to a lot of younger brothers on Instagram, and they gravitate towards me, for lack of a better term. Why they do, I don't know. Maybe they view me as that big brother figure, and if they do, I appreciate it. You know, and I told him, I'm like, man, I'm just not used to this. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not used to how I'm being viewed. I'm not used to being the quote-unquote source of inspiration for some people. I'm not used to being told, like, I'm an African king and, you know, like, and like, I don't really know how, like, you know what I'm saying, how I impact people's lives. And I really started noticing that, though. I'll be honest with you. Like, when I left home, it started coming back. And it's like the less I'm seen and then I appear and I leave again. Like, that's when I notice. I'm like, damn, like, people really, it's kind of like the energy or the morale, to use a battle term or war term. You know, the morale of everyone is like risen when I'm around. But I notice when I'm not around, people are like kind of droopy and, you know, kind of just going through the motions. But when I'm there, It's like spirits are uplifted. People are more energetic. People are laughing more. People are just more lively and things like that. Like, I have noticed that. So, you know, even when I go out in public, little kids, especially babies, I never seen they come up to me and, you know, want to play toys and, you know, they laugh with me and smile at me and follow me around, and dogs and animals follow me around too, you know. And I'll be honest, man, what was that? I didn't even know the dog was right there. I'm glad I didn't. It was a little dog. I didn't know it was right there. It didn't bark at me none. So I'm just walking in the store. I was on the water aisle, and so I just happened to look and turn around. I said, "Oh shit, what's up, buddy? I didn't know you were right there." The dog over there licking my leg and shit. I said, "This dog don't even know me. Never seen me before." And was it a girl dog? No, it was a boy dog. Nuts was hanging. But you know what I'm saying? It was, you know, little boy dog, never seen me before in my life. You know, he didn't bark at me, just licked my leg and followed me around the store. I didn't know he was right there. I said, "Man, what you on there, buddy?" I didn't even know. I said, "Damn, I might sell this dog." Oh, shit, my bad. I'm recording. I'll be at. But no, man, in all seriousness, though, so I'm just not used to that. You know what I'm saying? So that's part of kind of like me not accepting it, because like I said, man, y'all know me, I don't really care for compliments. I don't look to be complimented, you know what I mean? And me using the gym example, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really get caught up in the things I do. I know 18 sessions sounds like a lot, and other people, that's like, man, that's fucking insane. Like, how do you do 18 sessions in 6 days? Like, I did three sessions, 6 days a week. I did 2 hours of faster cardio some of those days. You know, after I got off work, I did the same thing too. Well, not the 2 hours, but I did an hour after I got off work. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, man, that was that. So like I said, I really downplay a lot of the shit I do, even though to other people it seems like a lot. But to me, it's just like, oh, well, okay. Because I look at it like, okay, like last week I did 18 sessions. Okay, let's see if I can do 20. I know I can, but it's just about a time thing. You know what I'm saying? Because I can do it. I'm not going to lie. I can do it. I'm not saying I'm going to do it next week or nothing like that, but I know one of these weeks how I do it. I'm going to just put my mind to it and say, hey, you know, I want to do 20 sessions this week. I'm going to do 4 sessions a day. Honestly, I can do that. If I do it like 5 days, I can have that. You know what I'm saying? Or if I want to do like 3, 6, 9, 12, 15. Oh, shit, never mind. I thought I was doing something. But yeah, if I want to do like 4, 8, 12, 16, like four sessions, 4 days in a row, then do like 3 another day and then 1 the last day or something like that, I can do that. If I'm adding it up right, I'm probably adding it up so wrong. Stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? And it's stuff like that I really struggle with now. Because I'm not going to lie, man. Like, when I do get complimented or people tell me stuff like that, like, it does really make me a little uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie. And when I say uncomfortable, I don't mean on some, like, I feel threatened type shit, nothing like that. But it's just, like, I'm just not used to it. You know what I'm saying? Like I remember, shit, around this time 5 years ago, I heard something totally different. You know, now it's like I'm looked at as this inspiration. People view me as a role model. You know, people tell me how much they think of me and how much, you know, when I'm not around, they miss my presence or they enjoy being in my presence and shit like that. And I'm just like, I'm just not used to that. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want that to affect. And the reason I'm going to therapy to kind of help me deal with that issue along with other ones is because like, I don't want that to affect my relationships with the people I care about. You know what I'm saying? And what I mean by that, to further elaborate, like I said on social media a few days ago, I don't really care about having a presence on social media. Yeah, we're in the social media era. We're in the era where everybody has a quote unquote platform and a voice and all this bullshit, but I don't really care about things like that. Like, I care about impacting or having a relationship in person or an off-camera relationship versus an on-camera relationship. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of that social media shit, excuse me, because a lot of that social media shit really is fabricated, to be honest with you. And, you know, I'm a very genuine person. Like, I don't like fake shit or shit to be fabricated or animated or whatever the case may be. Like, I don't really like shit like that. You know what I'm saying? So With that being said, like, I don't really want my issues or shit I've been dealing with for X amount of years, even before I left home, this shit that I've been dealing with since my early teen years or my pre-adolescent stage. Like, I don't want that to affect my relationship with my parents, with my daughter, with, you know, close friends of mine, the three friends I do have. Because that term friend, I don't use that term lightly, you know what I'm saying? Just because you know my first name, you smile on my face, I don't consider you a friend. Sorry, not sorry. You know, I look at it like a friend, you know, just like that Tupac song. Never had a friend like me, you know. At night I watch the sky, I take another breath, I smoke my Newport to the butt like it's the last motherfucker left. It's me and you invading enemies, let you get my last shot of Hennessy. Ain't never had a friend like me. Remember memories so vividly, which was a little dust kicking up becomes a G. Who can I call when they all fail? Collect calls from my dogs from the county jail, sending me mail. You know what I'm saying? So that's a friend. You know, somebody who I would give my last to and vice versa. Somebody who I've broken bread with. Someone who, you know, I can share my deepest and darkest secrets with. Or just like that DMX song, Dogs for Life. You know what I'm saying? I'm a ride and steal with you. Dog, nigga, ride till I die. You know, shit like that. Don't get me started with the impressions and shit, especially DMX. The who I am is who I be until I die. You accept it and don't fuck with it. But if we're going to be dogs and you stuck with it, let me go my way, but walk with me. See what I see, watch me and talk with me. Share my pain, make it a little easier to deal. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that's a friend. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I don't use that term friend lightly. I know a lot of people know of me. I'm not going to say they know me. They know of me. Like, they know my first name and shit like that. But you know what I'm saying? So like I said, that term friend, I'm friend and brother, like I use those two terms very, very lightly, you know. Or I don't use those terms lightly. You know what I'm saying? Cause that's some serious shit to me. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, so it's just stuff like that. And really that ties into the whole angry black man dynamic. And salute to Brother Q. He asked me this question last night. He asked me, so do I think that the world, and I'm going to paraphrase these two questions and make them into one. You know, do I feel like, or in my opinion, does the world want to see angry black men, or do they pick and choose who the world, you know, tries to try, or which black men they try to try and things of that nature? And I'm like, absolutely they do. Because the whole angry black man thing stems from, you know, black men not being listened to. The whole, no matter what you deal with as a black man, you just got to suck it up and deal with it. And that's not the correct approach. You know, like, how do you tell someone, especially because a lot of us have all dealt with some form of trauma, you know what I mean? Whether that's losing a family member at an early age, or family members at an early age, or maybe you've seen a murder with your own eyes at a young age, or regardless of what age, witnessing a murder is fucked up regardless, especially when you're younger and seeing some shit like that. Or maybe it's your environment, you know, that matriarchal environment, you being down talked and forced to be the quote unquote man in the house before you even a man yourself, you know what I mean? And things of that nature. So just told, what we're just told as black men, just suck it up and deal with it. And that's not the correct approach. And like I said earlier, nothing's wrong with having problems. It's just how you deal with them or don't deal with them. You know, that's when a problem or problems can occur. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, so they want the angry black man stigma to be painted on all of us. They want us to be all viewed as stereotypical, like we're all hotheads and like we're just these brutes with such strength and no brains. All brains and no brains type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Because black men, we're always, especially on the slavery dynamic, I really don't care for using that dynamic, but it's applicable in this situation. You know, like the slavery dynamic, you know, they just like to paint us. It's just like we're just these sources of brutes, and we just have all these bronze, the big muscles, the non-surreal athleticism and things like that. But the brains or the mental capacity or mental state of black men is never really addressed, or lack thereof. You know, like that's never really addressed, you know, because that shit has been stemmed or has been programmed or indoctrinated and told to us for years, for centuries. Like, oh, you're black, just deal with it. You know, because we've been viewed as having like a non-surreal pain tolerance or like a very high pain tolerance. both physically and mentally. So it's like, oh, shit, they'll get through it. No matter what they deal with, they'll get through it. They're black, quote unquote black, you know, and shit like that. And I don't like shit like that, you know, because like I say, man, we've all, everybody's life is different. Everybody's situation is different. Just deal with whatever you're going through. Nothing is wrong with having problems, just how you deal with them. Deal with your problems, you know, go to therapy, you know, find, do some form of martial art or martial arts if you want to get in survival like myself. Because I am going to get into different forms of martial arts like Tai Chi, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Taekwondo, Muay Thai, if I already said it, boxing, kickboxing, wrestling, things like that. You know, weapons training and things like that. And, you know, like I said, going to therapy and writing more and writing stories, writing short stories and poetries and things like that, you know. So, yeah, man, that's pretty much the episode. I know I did a lot of, 35 minutes? Why you ain't tell me I was talking so long, man? Shit, I would have stopped 20 minutes ago. Nah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, man, that's pretty much the episode. Just wanted to touch on that and, you know, why it's very important for us black men to put our health first, because truth be told, well, especially our mental health, our physical health, our mental health, our spiritual health, our emotional health, our financial health, however you want to put them or which order you want to put them in, that's on you, more power to you. But, you know, but the black man's physical health isn't talked about enough. Well, I should rephrase that, because like I said, just from a looks dot, like a looks perspective, will always be viewed as being the more superior of all the races physically. I mean, let's just call it for what it is. I mean, shit, you think I'm bullshitting? Look at sports. Look at football. It's what, 70-80% black? Look at basketball, and even higher percentage than that. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at the sports, probably outside of swimming, you know, but basically what I'm saying, to quote Paul Mooney, or to quote the late, great Paul Mooney, whenever black people take over, nigga, we take over. Nigga, you white folks, nigga, you better enjoy Michael Phelps while you can, because the black seal is coming, nigga, and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to do a Paul Mooney impression, you know. A lot of people like my impressions. I don't know why, man, but like I say, man, but the other aspects of our health, our mental health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, our financial health, you know, it's not really talked about enough, you know, or we don't put too much emphasis and wholeness on those aspects of our health, because it's more than just looking good. You have to be good mentally, you got to be good spiritually, you got to be good emotionally, financially. You know, you just have to be the best version of yourself. Not even necessarily just saying from your family or for your family, but for yourself, you have to be the best version of yourself. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, that's pretty much the episode. I'm going to get a little rest and try to go to this gym. You know, do my thing, and yeah. That's it. Y'all get off my damn phone.